Hi, this is Mouse.
I'm Weens.
We have the Mouse and Weens podcast. I'm the mom that lives in suburbia with three kids.
I'm alone.
She's the hot Hollywood
cat lady.
And we have a fun podcast where we talk about life, love, and
loneliness.
Pubic hair. Come on.
I'm sorry.
We hope you come take a listen to us. We're on all the platforms, and we will see you soon.
I have PMS.
Candles lit for mass.
That's right. Let the gods of podcasting be with us.
That's right.
And also with you.
We are the most Catholic of movie podcasts.
I mean, there are literal churches that have podcasts.
I mean, but... of movie podcasts.
Oh, okay.
I don't think there's any movie podcasts that are lighting candles.
No?
Setting the altar for mass.
We do talk about Jesus comparisons a lot, because that can be found in a lot of movies.
I mean, it's there. Yeah.
Maybe we should be a Christian movie podcast.
Ooh.
Bring out the...
I couldn't go evangelical. I'd have to go back to my Catholic roots and... just really lean in there and be like, these are the movies you need to be watching.
Well, we could do God's Not Dead. We could do like...
That's all evangelical.
We'd have to go... Hallmark movies.
We'd have to go like Dogma. We could watch a lot of like old school mob movies like The Godfather, because there's a lot of Catholicism in there. Maybe that's what our next season should be, is the most Catholic movies we can find.
I don't know if I'll be very good at... finding those.
It could be pretty good.
It could be.
It could be really good. Yeah. There's a lot of great movies. I mean, if you're dealing with like...
See, I was thinking more
Italians in New York, you're gonna have some Catholic elements in there. I mean, like Daredevil. You know how like Daredevil is like...
He's Catholic. Very much a Catholic hero.
Yeah, that was a Frank Miller thing.
See,
yeah.
I was thinking more like make fun of bad Christian propaganda movies.
I mean, we could.
And you're picking out, like, legitimate,
I'm picking
like,
out, like,
here's this
good movies good... that have, you know, just, like, Catholic characters in them.
Yeah.
Like, Sleepers is actually, there's, like, a subplot that it leans heavily on Catholicism.
Okay.
That we watch, Mom and I watched that a couple weeks ago.
I haven't seen Sleepers.
Yeah.
I'm watching The Walking Dead right now, and they've got, like,
ooh.
Herschel, he's very much, like, this spiritual person.
Right, right.
He's kind of the conscience of the group. They replace him with, like,
He's very pro-zombie life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pro-life.
And they end up in a church at some point in The Walking Dead, right?
Yeah, there's a priest who locked everyone out of his church.
Right. That black dude, right?
Yeah.
Like... T-Dog died and they needed another black guy. And they're like, nah, let's just make this priest black.
They had a percentage on that show
their quota
they had to hit. Well, this is Atlanta, so we got to make sure.
I mean, part of the cast. Honestly, there would be a lot more black people, survivors, than The Walking Dead represents, I think.
That's true.
In Atlanta?
I think what they're really missing is the Hispanic population. It's all black or white people.
That's true. Glenn's Asian.
Yeah.
So, not Hispanic, I'm saying, but I'm saying, like, not black or white.
Yeah.
Like, also another minority. They need, like, a random Canadian, and then just, like, it's like the UN of apocalypse survivors kind of thing.
That's right.
Yeah. Anyway. We ready?
Quickly getting off track. Yeah,
we haven't really started yet. Hello, and welcome to The Picture Show with Austin and Phil Rude. I am Phil Rude. I'm the dad.
Oh, that's my cue. And I'm...
Yep. Uh-huh. We've been five seasons
now.
Oh,
okay. and I'm Austin Rude, and I'm the son. And every week we watch movies, and then we talk about it. And this week we're going to be talking about, like, all the movies we've done this past season. So, like, this
all the movies.
All the movies that ever were.
That's right. That's right. It is our season 5 recap, and we are going to take a look at this season's movies and our high and low points of this group. I mean, this is, we're just going to be a casual conversation of kind of talking about what we've watched. We watched a lot of movies this season.
And there were some high highs and
some low lows, I will say.
Low, yeah.
I think I brought some real stinkers to the show, but we'll get into it. Let's run down our list of movies that we watched this season.
All right. We've got Ad Astra.
And then 2010, the year we make Contact.
And then we did Arrival.
And then John Carpenter's Starman.
Passengers.
The Abyss is on the list, but that was a big goose egg. We did not watch The Abyss.
Biggest disappointment of the season.
I mean, if we're going to jump into disappointments, the fact that I could not find The Abyss.
I did want to watch that movie because I haven't seen the full thing. I've seen clips.
And I will somehow track down a copy and we will do it on a future season.
We're going to do it. Like, we're not walking away from that one. But then we did Interstellar.
Interstellar, that's right. We followed that with Danny Boyle's Sunshine.
And then we did the original Cloverfield.
That's right. We got into our Halloween movies with Cloverfield, and then I picked Frankenstein to follow that up.
And then we did The Fly.
So good. And Pandorum. And then we got into our Halloween sequels, which
that's
were...
That's right. 10 Cloverfield Lane.
That's right. And we finished it up last week with The Bride of Frankenstein.
That's it.
So
our extended Halloween extravaganza.
We did a lot of movies this year, or this season, and I always say year, like we're on TV and we only do one season a year. We're reality TV, and we do like 3 seasons a year.
That's right. Keeping Up with the Roots.
That's right. but out of all of those, let's just go over our standouts. What were your big kind of standout movies? You don't have to limit yourself to just one. Like, what was it that you watched that when you think of this season, which is a little tricky for me, I'm going to pick one from each group because I almost think of this season in looking back as 2 seasons because we had so many Halloween movies.
Right. We had the sci-fi and then the horror.
And then sci-fi. The sci-fi horror.
For me, I had a few, but what really stood out to me was Starman.
Really?
Yeah, I had never seen that movie
before. I'm really
before.
Glad to hear that.
I just thought it was such a unique little movie. Not little movie, but you know, like...
It is kind of a little movie. Like, there's some special effects in there, but...
But it wasn't a huge action movie.
It's not a big epic. There's not a ton of characters in it. I think it is kind of a small movie in the way I think all John Carpenter movies are kind of small. They're very... focused on a tight group of characters, and that's what it is. And I think that's fair to call it a little movie, you know.
But it was emotional, and it was like it was really good. It stood out to me as like this small story that had a big impact.
I think that's great.
So yeah, and as far as you went,
I'm gonna call out Sunshine as being something that really stood out to me. Something about watching that on this. It was almost like seeing it for the first time, even though I had seen it before. It was very fresh to me, and all the ideas just really locked in with me on this watch. And that was a really different movie as well. But I'm also going to call out from one from the Halloween group, and that's The Fly. Like, The Fly was so much fun for me. I think that movie is just so good, and it just is almost like left out of conversation so much, and it just struck me as like, why don't we talk about this movie more? Like this
it was like the perfect horror movie.
I had a great it really was, especially when you're talking about like science fiction and those themes over and over again of like the idea of the scientist playing God, you know, which we saw in other movies this season, but I don't know, with The Fly, it was like a perfect mix of like schlock and kind of high-minded, great filmmaking, I think.
And I think that comes from, like, I think you've said before that sci-fi is, like, at its best when it's representing an idea.
I think
like,
when it's talking about something, yeah, it's at its best, for sure.
And we were able to talk about how this is, like, there's a lot of metaphors for, you know, agency and people's decisions in this. And I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, it was. It was a really, I don't know, I just had so much fun with it that it really stands out. It's a, you know, standout movie for me this season.
Yeah. And we have to take a field trip to the Museum of Brendel.
The Museum of Brendel, yeah. And see, like, the ear and the jar or whatever else he had in there, all his teeth.
Little knickknacks.
His fingernails. Yeah, yeah. You want to take the next one on the list? We can alternate that.
What your favorite movie was that we watched?
Yeah. I mean, that's sort of a big question, you know, to narrow it down like that. But
for me, is that too big a question?
No, I don't think so. I mean, what did you have a favorite movie from this season? I think
wrote down The Fly.
Did you really?
Yeah.
All right.
So it stood out enough that it was my favorite.
Yeah, it's hard to pick just one. But I'll say, maybe because it is sort of a simpler movie, maybe Arrival is my favorite from this season.
Really?
Just in terms of like, it is big ideas, but like Starman, it's not small, but it is focused so much on the characters.
Mm-hmm.
And in that same vein, you know, because I can never pick just one favorite, I'll put Ad Astra up there with it, because I just think Ad Astra is like maybe one of the best sci-fi movies of the last decade, probably. I think because that is such a character study that just happens to take place in space.
It's so beautiful and like visuals message.
I think there's a lot going on in Ad Astra. So I'd put those two at the top of my list for being like, they do the big scope thing really well, but they're also, these are movies that are about characters above all else. I mean, other things that would be in the running are things like, Interstellar or Sunshine. Mm-hmm. But I think those things are so big in scope and have so much going on that like they just don't have the simplicity that I think Ad Astra is a very simple, straightforward narrative. And so is Arrival, even though Arrival fucks with the timeline so much.
But it's focused all around one character.
You can follow it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. It's different kind of how it plays with your brain.
Yeah.
I don't know. Those movies, Arrival especially, I love Arrival, and yet, like, trying to explain why it's so good to someone is...
You can't.
It's impossible.
And I think the same thing with Ad Astra, and the only thing I tell people when I recommend Ad Astra is, it's slow. Like, be ready for it to be slow. Mm-hmm. Don't come to me afterwards and go, I thought it was boring. Because I'm not gonna... Like, it's fine for you to think it's boring, but it just really means you weren't paying attention, kind of. You know what right. I mean? Like, I hate to be, like, snobby about it, but it's like, it's a slow movie, but I don't think it's a boring movie at all. And I think we probably talked about this, just, like, what an underseen movie it is.
Some people don't give it a chance when it's a slow movie.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, I think 2001 is a pretty... I don't know if it's a slow movie, it's one of those ones that some people dismiss. It is like a classic, but
deliberately
I've heard some
paced.
People,
yes.
Like more modern movie critics be like, oh, I don't like 2001. It's overhyped. And I'm like, I don't think you're really paying attention to
it. It's a thing we talk about a lot of like just a modern audience. I think there's a lot of old movies that a modern audience isn't going to lock in with. Like, right. We didn't really get down with the original Frankenstein.
What are you talking about? I peed my pants like twice during that just, super scary movie.
It just was, you know, not for us. And again, I think I shouted this out in the Ad Astra episode. There's a video I watched from, it's a YouTube channel called the Royal Ocean Film Society.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked about like these modern, like, kind of high concept sci-fi movies like Ad Astra, like Interstellar, and just that they're marketed very poorly. They're marketed to look more like action movies or thrillers or these sort of fast-paced, suspenseful mm-hmm. movies.
Because people don't go see the slow
movies. And then people go in and they watch them and they're like, it wasn't that at all. I was so bored. And it's mm-hmm. just sort of like, it's a fault of marketing a lot of times.
It is. It's a trick to get you in the seat.
It is a trick. You marketing people. What are you doing?
Disappointing.
What movie that you had seen were you happy to revisit? What was your favorite return to Oz moment here?
Well, that was Arrival for me, but it was also 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah.
Because I always like revisiting that movie.
For That's sure.
just a really solid movie. And you?
Yeah, I mean, I loved revisiting both of those. I loved revisiting The Fly. But I think I'm going to call out Starman on this one. I was so relieved to watch Starman and discover that it really has aged well. It's a little mm-hmm. silly and it's not perfect. But, you know, I watched it and I had a really, really good time and kind of notice some new things in this watch of it. I think it struck me a little more that Jeff Bridges and Karen Allen both are just like so good in that movie, you know, like mm-hmm. the acting and everything. And just what a charming sci-fi movie it is. I think it's this sort of hidden gem in the John Carpenter filmography, you know, mm-hmm. it's we talked about how unlike John Carpenter it is and how it is a little bit of an E.T. ripoff, but it just doesn't matter. It's so much fun, I think. And I really had a good time going back to the well on that.
Yeah. That scene where he brings the deer back to life.
Oh,
just,
yeah.
Just like is ingrained in my brain now.
It's so good. Yeah.
It's really nice.
It's one of the things, it's one of my go-to in my head moments when somebody says Starman is thinking of the deer
mm-hmm.
Because it's such a that's all the emotional weight of that movie, really.
Yeah. What, let's see, did something disappoint you this season?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I think I can guess, but,
as far as revisiting, something that yeah. didn't hold up, I have to go to Pandorum on that. Like, I was really, that was another one of those where I picked it and remembered it being a really good kind of horror movie. And then once I got about halfway into it, I was like, what is this? What did I see in this movie? I really felt the deflated after watching that movie. That
like you watched it in a different state of mind the first time.
Yeah, and something. I don't know what it was, but it just really hit me different this time. And I'm like, this movie's not very good.
I think that movie was very early 2000s of its time.
Yeah, we talked about how dated it feels now, and I think that might be it. In its day, it's
so I guess it hit really.
It hit
really much in
the right mood
the
for it or something. But yeah, just, it was disappointing. It was disappointing to get to it and go, oh, yeah, not what I remember. So
yeah,
for me, that was my bad rewatch my bad revisiting. And it makes it even worse is that I brought it to the show. Like, it just
listen, I've done that several times.
Yes,
I do not pick Netflix original movies anymore for a reason.
Well, you know, it's a roll of the dice when it's been a long time since you've seen it.
Yeah.
How about you? Was there something that you were going back to that hit you a little bit different?
I didn't hate this movie, but Cloverfield wasn't as good as maybe I remembered it to be.
Interesting.
I still liked it, and I still defended it in that episode, because I do think it's a fun adventure. But, like, I don't know. I think I had never seen, like, any true, like, horror as scary as that when I had originally watched Cloverfield. So I guess it wasn't as scary as I thought it would be. But it wasn't a major disappointment. It was just
it's just not as shiny. It's
not the same.
It's the thing I level at Marvel movies a lot is
they on rewatch.
On a second watch, it's oh, okay, I know all the lame quips and I know what happens next, and just sort of like the shine doesn't hold up super well on a lot of those movies. It doesn't make them bad. It doesn't mean they're not fun. It's just like, oh, this isn't quite, you know, like
you can kind of see through it better.
Sure. I mean, the Marvel thing I always point out is, like, on Twitter, as soon as a Marvel movie comes out, you see the same people go, I got a new favorite Marvel movie, and they do it on every single one. Yeah. It's because these things are great upon first viewing, and I think there's diminishing returns after that. And I think Cloverfield, being found footage, being really new at the time, you know, it doesn't hit quite as hard after you watch it a couple of times. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
It's a bit of a spectacle, and I mean, we've seen other found footage stuff now, and well, I have. I saw this before I saw the Blair Witch Project, so this was like the first found footage thing I think I ever saw.
Yeah.
So it's maybe The Office.
Have you watched Blair Witch?
I have seen Blair Witch.
Oh, wow. Yeah. What do you think of that?
No.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I watched it in high school at some point.
Interesting.
On like a Halloween with my friends. Not that interesting.
There is an episode I sat in for Nick on Hit Me One More Time a couple years ago. And the topic was the Blair Witch Project. And, you know, we talked a lot about like how that hit very different at the time of the release. It was very, very early internet, pre-social media. There's a lot of weird websites. There was a lot of like fake news stories planted. And there was a lot of speculation of whether or not this was actual footage that was found. And there was just there was a whole extra level to the Blair Witch Project.
And you're missing that.
And you are missing that now. And it was the first time I had watched that movie in years to rewatch it for that show. It was one of those that just sort of hit me like, this movie's fine, but it's not, you know, it doesn't hit the same. And it was also like very obviously a student film. Mm-hmm. Whereas like a student film that was released as a mainstream movie back then was, I think today even, it's pretty rare. But, you know, now I think we do see a little more of, like, smaller, more independent movies. People see them more, and they see, you know, like
there's, like, A24, although I don't know how independent.
You have things like Tangerine that were, like, shot on an iPhone. You have things that are, like, experimental, and you just kind of go. And this is sort of, like, you can just sort of tell, like, oh, this is a few college kids dicking around to get their project done, and they've got a great idea. It's just not all executing super well, and you know what I mean, like it was we didn't have access to the same kind of like independent film to see more of that, so it was just a different thing. And you know, seeing people who were bad actors, and also there's a rumor that that this is real, somehow it all sort of worked together to make it a little more interesting, at least.
Yeah, I think if I went into it thinking it was some documentary or something, mm-hmm. I would have been a lot less bored at the boring
parts. It adds a layer to it, yeah.
It's like, ooh, there's tension. Something's gonna happen.
Yeah. But, yeah. Anyway, we didn't watch Blair Witch this season.
No, we watched Cloverfield, it was okay. Just not as amazing as my head told me it would be.
Yeah, that's fair. Least favorite movie that we watched.
Least favorite?
Least favorite, totally.
Frankenstein.
Wow. I'm going to stick with Pandorum, but I still stand by the fact that Frankenstein was not fun to watch.
I mean, Pandorum at least had something interesting going on in it. Like,
it didn't stand still the way Frankenstein did.
That's just it. Like,
I'll also say Frankenstein had better camera work. More interesting camera work than Pandorum. I think
so you could see what was happening.
On a technical level, I think Frankenstein was a better movie. But, yeah.
I don't think it's a trash movie. Just
I think
it's the writing of the movie that bothers me. It really bugs me.
For me, Pandorum. There's also like, let's just talk about like, because there's things that aren't going to get scooped up by the net of the worst thing we watch. What did you just in general not enjoy watching? What were the ones sort of closer to the bottom of the pile for you?
I would say Pandorum is very much. I just liked.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like that movie very much.
No, I didn't either. That's fine. You're not insulting me because I
feel bad.
No,
it's your pick.
No, I didn't. I'm not going to disagree with you that it was not a fun experience.
Let me finish my sentence. And I also hate the guy who brought it onto the show.
I knew it.
And another one, 2010, I don't remember that movie.
I
feel like it was pretty forgettable. I actually remember the bullet points.
I remember that movie fairly well, but I was going to put it near the bottom of my list, too. I didn't think it was, I think it was a little bit bloated. I think it was trying to do a lot, and I think the very interesting parts of that they didn't focus on enough. I think there were some great parts of that movie.
I remember the camaraderie between, you know, the two different nations working together, the people in spite of their nations. I
remember Ghost Dave.
I think Ghost Dave was
super interesting. The second son coming up and what that meant for the world. I mean, these really, really great ideas that just kind of got overshadowed by a big, bloated, mediocre movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
I put it down in my notes as 2010 is mid.
Yes, yeah, like, that's I think that's a really bland, fair statement. But I would put not to throw shade on you.
Ooh.
I think we can free each other from taking this personally.
Yes.
Passengers. I think Passengers was a very mid movie about some pretty unlikable people. But I think there were some redeeming qualities to that. I was disappointed in that. I had never seen it before, but I think I was hoping for a lot more.
That's fair.
In Passengers.
And I think I was too, and I kind of just wanted an excuse to talk about that on the podcast. I wasn't bringing it as this is going to be a great movie.
I don't have any problem with bringing a movie on that isn't like a great movie, but you think there's a lot to talk about. I mean, that's the whole thing of what we're doing here, you know?
And that's why,
like,
I'm going to be talking about Madagascar 3, Escape to Africa, or whatever.
Madagascar 3, Noah Baumbach's alimony payments.
That's right. The marriage story.
He wrote Madagascar to pay for his divorce or something like that. Yeah. Speaking of movies that we've watched on the show that surprised the hell out of me. Yeah. Marriage Story still gets brought up. I'll see a TikTok about it, or
I'll see a lot of bad reactionary
something brought up, and it just hits me all over again how really great that movie is.
It's a very real look, and a lot of people don't like it because of that.
I think it's too real for some people. Yeah.
Everyone thinks, sorry, this is a minor side tangent.
No, let's talk about it.
Everyone hates Adam Driver's character.
I think his character's so great.
But they just see that video of him screaming, "I want you to die," and punching the wall. Yeah. And they're like, "My God, this guy's abusive." And it's like
in the context of what's going on, there's a lot
going on here. And yes, he's in the wrong and he's a bad person, but so is she, and they're hurting, and it's...
Show me a married person
who has not
said something that they wish they could take back. Like,
everyone has said, not just to married people.
I think that movie probably is really raw for a lot of people, because if you look at the divorce rates in this country, a huge amount of people have either been through a divorce, they're a product of a divorce. You know what I mean? Like, it is a...
They've witnessed the
connected
effects
to
of it.
And it's just too... It's too raw. But, yeah. I think that movie's incredible. I think that movie is incredibly nuanced and, like, a full look of, like, here's the full emotional spectrum of going through a breakup with somebody. You can hate and love somebody at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, show me another movie that is able to display that well. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think you can.
That's
like
a hard thing
Marriage Story is really great. Yeah. And I wish Passengers had been written by Noah Baumbach.
That's right.
And it was just this very moody space piece.
Space Divorce. Space Divorce.
Let's see. Where's my glasses?
What surprised you? Have we done that yet?
What movie did surprise you?
Are you surprised by any of these movies?
Honestly, yeah. I'm gonna say, Bride of Frankenstein.
Same.
After watching Frankenstein, I, up to the day we watched it, considered calling an audible and just replacing it. I go, I don't want to watch another Universal movie. I've fumbled the ball on my Halloween picks. You know, I was 0-for-2 at that point. And I go, I just wanted to watch something fun. I considered putting E.T. in there because there's a Halloween sequence.
That's right.
I considered so many space horror movies or sci-fi horror movies. The Thing. All of these just things that I knew were great, that I love. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, I said, nope, let's just watch The Bride. And you know what? I really did enjoy The Bride of Frankenstein. It was the biggest turnaround. And I've tried to think of another case of a movie I didn't like, so I dragged my feet on the sequel. And then when I watched the sequel, I was like, oh, this sequel is really great. Even though I don't like the original, and I know there's more out there, but all I could really think of was Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
That's a really good one.
I really hate the first Avenger. I just think it's such a boring, nothing movie. Mm-hmm. That was one of those movies just to get to the Avengers.
To where they wanted to
be. Yeah. And then like, oh, the Winter Soldier is actually really good. But I know there's other cases of sequels that I love, even though I hate the original movie. I just keep drawing a blank. Anyway, I would put this in that same category.
I think that's fair. Because it completely threw me off guard in the same way. I was like, I didn't like Frankenstein. I'm not going to like the sequel, which goes even more off.
I mean, we did not watch it until almost the absolute last minute for putting an episode. We really procrastinated on watching The Bride of Frankenstein.
But it was good.
But I had a great time watching it. I watched it with you and Mom.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we kind of joked about the silly parts during the movie, but we didn't not enjoy them. Nothing was boring. Nothing was too dumb to where we couldn't enjoy it.
It was entertaining.
And I really, really enjoyed that movie. And I think all the emotional beats landed. Mm-hmm. And you still had the good parts of the first one, like great camera work and great makeup and Boris Karloff. And yeah, it was one of my bigger turnarounds on a sequel, I think.
And a good way to close out the season, too. You know?
It was.
Just to be like, hey, we revisited this universe and it got better.
Did we land the season on two sequels that we liked better than the originals? 10 Cloverfield Lane
that is how we
and
finished
Bride
it off.
Of Frankenstein.
Yeah. Interesting.
I wonder how many people didn't see 10 Cloverfield Lane because they didn't like Cloverfield or it made them sick.
That's interesting. I don't know.
Just initially passed on it. You know what I mean?
Because I think it was advertised as a very different movie. I think.
Yeah, maybe.
A lot of people didn't even know. Maybe they didn't realize it was connected or a sequel.
Because it looked so different.
Yeah, the trailer looked very suspense.
Yeah. I do kind of remember at the time, like, people wondering, is this a sequel to Cloverfield? Because it doesn't look anything like Cloverfield, you know, like that kind of thing. But yeah, I think we landed on a good note.
It's a good way to close out. Do you think anything has changed?
Like,
since
opinions?
We've last seen it? Yeah.
Outside of like Pandorum. That I've already complained about. I'll say Sunshine. Just, again, to reiterate, like, I didn't dislike Sunshine, but I didn't really remember it very well. And for some reason, it just hit me all kinds of different this time. And became, I think, one of the real bright spots. I keep calling it a rewatch, but I really just should consider it to be, like, a first watch. I remember so little of my initial watch of it, you know what I mean?
It was your first in-depth watch,
paying attention. Yeah, probably. And, you know, same with, like, Bride of Frankenstein, which I had seen before, but also didn't remember at all. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, Sunshine, I think, is one of those movies where I think if someone was looking, like, for, hey, you know, like a heady sci-fi movie I could watch or sci-fi horror, I would probably recommend Sunshine to them. Like, it really struck me as like, oh, this is a great sci-fi movie.
That's fair.
How about you? Was there anything that you either turned around on or liked better or liked worse or anything like that?
I struggled to think of any, but I...
Yeah, we're pretty familiar with most of this stuff, or it was brand new to you.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. What I will say is, I haven't mentioned Interstellar yet.
I was just going to ask you.
That is a movie that I wanted to see for so long that it very easily could have been like, this concept has built up inside my head so much that nothing can live up to it.
For sure.
And
that happens.
It wasn't that. Like, it wasn't 100% what I expected, because I didn't fully know what the movie was going to be. But it was really good, and it defied my expectations.
I love Interstellar.
Yeah.
Gerald, my buddy Gerald, who does a podcast, Two Peas in a Podcast, they just did their top five Christopher Nolan movies, and Interstellar was on nobody's top five list, but
really,
it really just gets left out. But I think, like, I do remember I left a comment on his, he does like an audience poll just on Facebook, and I made a case for Interstellar because we had just watched it for the show and just talked about, like, this is sort of like Nolan's potential, like, realized. It's conceptually huge, it's epic in scope, and he actually does it in a coherent way. Where I would also argue, where he does something equally ambitious as something like Tenet, but Tenet is so much harder to follow. You know what I mean? It's almost like, it's almost a failure because it's so, so muddy. You know what I mean?
Well, and like Interstellar has an emotional core because it's more understandable and it's got these clear-cut characters. Tenet, I don't know. I need to rewatch Tenet and decide if upon rewatch it's better or if it's trash.
It is better in the same way that Primer is better when you watch it. Did I send you that video on Tenet?
I don't think
so. I saw a YouTube video, I think this past week, about this dude talking about Tenet and how Tenet's not a traditional movie. It's a puzzle. It's a game. It's, you know, the more you watch it, the more you figure out how it works. And I think it struck me as a real parallel to, like, Primer. You've seen Primer, right?
Yes.
And I think I made you watch
Primer. I have seen it.
And Primer is the thing that I used to watch like once a year because I would get a little closer every time to figuring out what was going on.
You got to try to solve the movie.
Right. It's a puzzle. It's a game. It's almost interactive.
Which is fun.
And he was making this case for that as this sort of experimental, interactive movie. You know, like, you're not making decisions for the characters, but you are involved in trying to figure out what the hell is going on. And, you know, among other things that are great, like John David Washington and Robert Pattinson being just, like, complete badasses in this movie and super fun to watch as a spy movie. But, yeah, I think, you know, Tenet, again, something we watched, like, three seasons ago. But I caught a little bit of it on TV. A few weeks ago. And I did get kind of compelled into watching it for a little while. I was just sort of like, oh yeah, there's something so compelling about that movie.
I think we need people to edit that movie, like cut and splice it together.
Ooh, I don't know if you
like
can.
Like a proper puzzle. Yeah. To show all the different character journeys from start to finish.
Yeah, maybe.
Like his friend who knew him and...
Well, you do. Know. Yeah, I mean, you do get the...
Everything's there. It's just all out of order.
You get the main character. You get his thing in order. Like, even when he's moving backwards and fighting himself, you see that come full circle. Yes. You know, like, and
it's everyone just, else's perspective.
Yeah, it's such a weird thing. It's like, I don't even know if you could put that in chronological order. It's so all over the place.
But I bet you could try.
You could probably try. Yeah. It'd be interesting. Anyway, we didn't watch Tenet this year, but we did watch Interstellar. And I'm glad you didn't enjoy it. You know, I'm glad that it wasn't so built up in your mind that you couldn't enjoy the actual movie. You
know? Yeah.
Because I think Interstellar is just like one of the best.
And the real trippy scene where he's I don't even know what to call it, but like behind the bookshelf.
When he's in the black
other
hole
dimension.
In the Tesseract. In,
sure.
In like the fifth dimension, isn't that what that's called?
It's another dimension, yeah.
Yeah. It's like a thing that can't be it's a shape that can't be properly displayed. There's too many dimensions. There's too many, like, the math doesn't represent itself in a two-dimensional space or something like that.
Yeah, which is a theoretical science. Like, there are, there are things we can't understand in the three-dimensional realm, and they're like, well, this must mean there's other... I watched a whole video of
this old thing of Carl Sagan, you know, trying to explain what a Tesseract was. And it's like, oh, okay. I don't get it, but I get the direction you're getting at. Anyway, I love that Nolan is able to display time and space as this series of bookshelves that's all around him. And they are just infinitely going on forever. And everything he touches just manipulates gravity. I just think it's so...
It's a nice way to visualize
it. Yes, he visualizes it in a really inventive and clear way. You know what I mean? And it's one of those things where it's like, I know the science and math probably aren't right. I don't care. Like, yeah. It's so good. Yeah.
There's a Doctor Who episode where the reverse
okay,
happens.
Okay, guys. I got to get a stinger. like a musical cue of
every time that I mention Doctor Who. Ding!
It's Austin's Doctor Who corner.
If you count all of the times I mention it throughout the podcast, you get a prize.
I wonder if I can put a whole episode together of just your Doctor Who references.
You can.
Yeah.
There's an episode where there's two-dimensional beings.
Which Doctor?
12th Doctor.
Which one is that? You gotta give me a name.
Sorry, Peter Capaldi.
Okay.
Old man.
Yep. The one you said is like me.
I didn't... He plays guitar, you said, and he's really cool.
Dad, you would like him. He's grumpy and old, and he plays guitar. He's like you. That was your exact words when you were watching the Peter Capaldi Doctor.
Anyways... He meets two-dimensional beings, and they flatten people to try to understand them, and it's like this otherworldly, they're from a two-dimensional world, they don't sure. understand what we are, so it's hard to represent them.
Interesting.
Yeah. Interstellar did a similar thing. Yeah. Anyway.
Probably not as good as Doctor Who.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's tough to match those great special effects that CGI Doctor Who's working
that they
with.
Don't have.
Don't tell me they don't have it. I think it's a choice.
It's deliberate at this point.
Doctor Who special effects. Everybody weigh in, please. Doctor Who special effects. Are they deliberately bad? Is it an aesthetic choice in keeping with... That's my argument.
It's better when they're bad. Most of the time, they don't have funding. Now they have funding, and it's going to be interesting to see where that goes. 13th Doctor, she had funding... They used it on cinematography instead, which I think is a better choice.
Better choice, I think. I'm not even saying that it's a bad choice to keep everything bad. I think there's a charm to it.
It's fun when you're yes. like, oh, they're on a soundstage.
Yes.
Like, sure.
Oh, there's the obvious...
Can hear the echo.
Yes.
And
I mean, it's...
Right there.
It's great.
Anyway,
right. Which of us had the best batch of movies, do you think?
I think I did.
I think you did as well. I think I brought some heavy hitters to the lineup, but ultimately I had one that was a no-show. I dropped the ball on two of my three Halloween picks. And 2010, like we said, was a little underwhelming. I think you brought, I mean, Ad Astra, Arrival, right there. Like, you're nailing it. The Fly, Cloverfield, 10 Cloverfield Lane. I mean, Passengers was kind of your only maybe, you know, you're, and that's not even a bad movie. So
sure.
I think you really brought the heat for the sci-fi season.
I really love Starman.
Oh, I love a couple of my picks. It's not, you know.
When we finally get to watch The Abyss, that's when
yeah, now I'm afraid this is gonna get built up too much.
Oh like, no.
Oh no, what have we done? But yeah, I think you brought just some great movies that I had a blast watching, and yeah, I don't know, you like came out of the gate swinging with Ad Astra, that helps.
I love sci-fi. And
I thought you were going alphabetical for a little while, and then it was like
I tried. Yeah, I could have done a much longer season.
Oh yeah,
but I know you've already reviewed a lot of sci-fi and.
Well, yeah. I mean, I did a sci-fi podcast for a few years. You're going to have some repeats, but I mean, it's a big world. It's not like we're never going to review sci-fi movies on any other season.
Nope, just, this was it. This was our only chance, Dad.
Yeah, that's right. Thoughts on this season overall? Like, just this was your theme. This was your... idea to do this.
I'm glad we got it done.
Yeah, I think
season 5 was good. I think we had a lot of good movies in here.
This was a fun one. And I like that we we extended Halloween season and kept it sci-fi, even if
yeah,
all the movies weren't great. I think the ones that were some of the better ones. Some of our better Halloween picks. Of the entire podcast.
Yeah.
So.
I think it was pretty spooky.
Very, very spooky. We're not going to do shout outs this episode. But we are releasing this the week of Thanksgiving. In the United States. And the aspect of that holiday, I know Thanksgiving can be a divisive holiday given the history of this country. But the aspect of Thanksgiving that I generally like to focus on is just reflecting on what it is that I have in my life that I'm grateful for, that I want to show thanks for. And in terms of this show, I think I speak for both of us when I say we're thankful for anyone who listens to us, anyone in our audience who gives us an hour to 2 hours every week, or just on occasion. If you pay attention to us, if you like what we're doing, you know, we get feedback from you, and we have a community, a modest community around us that enjoys what we do. We enjoy what we do. We would do it anyway. It's really cool to realize that you guys listen to us too, and I really appreciate that. So we just want to say thank you. We are thankful for you being part of our community.
Yeah.
Oss, you have anything you want to add to that?
Well, I'm thankful for Nintendo Switches and electricity.
Also cool.
But I am very grateful that we have people who listen to us and do what we say. No. People who join in conversation about movies.
If you play this podcast backwards, it tells you.
We're actually a master hypnotist. There we go.
That's how good we are. We don't even...
We can't even say the word.
Hungry hypnotist.
That's right. I am thankful for our listeners, and I'm excited to say that we will be back for season 6.
Yes.
It'll be after the new year sometime.
Yeah, let's get through the holidays. We may drop a Christmas episode in there somewhere, or just a random...
A Life Day special.
Oh, a Life Day special. Don't make me watch a Star Wars special. I think after the new year, in January, we'll be bringing you season 6.
Sounds good to me. We're still working on plans for that, but guess we'll give an update a little later when we've figured that out.
We'll drop an announcement just on the feed, letting you know what we're going to be doing, what we're going to be starting with, in case you want to watch along with us. And that's it. That's season 5.
That's our season.
It's really, really cool. 5 seasons.
It's a lot of episodes.
It really is. We're on 80-something episodes now. That's just regular numbered episodes.
Yeah.
We've
got more than that.
2.5 years almost. So, yeah. That we're trucking along. I think we're doing okay. Anyway, social media. Austin, are you still on Twitter? Is Twitter still a thing?
Last time I checked, it was still operational. That could change by the time this episode posts.
You got any other social medias you wanna shout out? There, you can
find me on Twitter too, which is just a Google Doc that I've created. No, you can find me on Twitter. I am Austin N. Rude, and I'm currently working on figuring out if I even want social media at this point.
That's kind of where a lot of people, I think, it's like the existential crisis of the internet is going, do I need to be on this at all at this point?
Right.
We'll
see. I might be dropping an email later and just leave it at that. But for now, you can find me on Twitter. So if you've got any questions about the show or movies you want us to review, let us know.
Yeah.
Where can people find you?
I'm at friendster.com/PhilRude. No, I still have a Twitter page. I'm at Phil Rude. I am on Mastodon, and those addresses are weird. But if you search for Phil Rude, I'm on the art server there. But I dropped the podcast there. ko-fi.com/PhilRude. I'm dropping episodes there. And you have philrude.com. I'm still on there, but I'm also looking to streamline my social media presence. I am doing a lot less of it and enjoying my life more. So,
valid.
Yeah. I need to figure out a way to move my entire community of friends to a way I can still communicate with them and then just drop all my social media. But yeah, for the time being, you can still find me here, there, and everywhere. Maybe over the break, I'll set up a show email that we can access and we can be a little less reliant on the whims of a mad billionaire. by the way, Elon Musk comes from generational wealth that was generated from his father supporting apartheid in South Africa. So if anyone else needed another reason to dislike the ethics of Elon Musk, there you go. If anyone was on the fence.
If you still need more reasons to not like real life Lex Luthor,
if him trolling the entire website that he just bought isn't enough for you, you know, there's that. So, yeah.
Anyway, I look forward to a show email. I think that'll be good.
Yeah, I think we can just break free of a lot of nonsense. Anyway, Oss, thanks for 5 great seasons, and looking forward to moving on to season 6. You want to read the credits?
Yep. This season, as with all of our seasons, we did all the work ourselves.
There you have it. We'll see you next season on The Picture Show.
See ya.